from Binance studio, trying to do a podcast and then informing everyone what's happening in the market in general, from Dubai to the world. We'll be speaking with Stephanie Emile, Binance FZE, Dubai General Manager. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast. And we know we've been talking about crypto a lot. We've been talking about the transformation that's happening in the world. First, I just want to start with you. I know you. I've just had a chit chat, so I love it. And but I want my audience to know you more. Tell me more about yourself.
Thanks, Rudy. Thanks for having me. Hi, guys. I'm Stephanie Emile. I am the Binance FZE General Manager. Prior to joining Binance, I was in financial markets back in London, actually. So I have been in Dubai for the last 3 years. And I am new to the crypto space. I'd say 2.5 years into the crypto space. And I've kind of been finding my way over the last few years into this interesting new industry. But before that, you know, I've got about 10 to 15 years within the financial markets and FX, in credit and rates, working on exchanges and the like. So I went from an industry that was very well built, very everything's regulated, but very, very high paced. So when I came to Dubai and I was looking for something, and the crypto, you know, crypto industry came up and this opportunity, I really got excited with the fact that, you know, I'm going into an industry that's very new, very fast paced, and I can just kind of figure things out as I go.
I want to dive deeper in this.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You know, being in corporate, I've been in corporate for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit. I said I'm not going anymore. And then I was mentioning that the social behavior of people changed. And I've moved into different places and different things. I've been in the crypto space for 10 years now. Wow. So I was a little bit lucky, because there's a lot of people that are more lucky than us. But funny enough, I've been with Binance for 7 years from the day.
OG.
From day zero. First, when I checked it last time, because I received a notification, it was 45 days after.
Oh, wow.
So that was nice. Anyway, I just want to dive into, you know, that corporate world, going into decentralized finance and the world of crypto, which is super fast and so on. What's that difference and how can this, you know, change really impact? And how can you more or less, you know, from personal experience, now you have both.
Yeah.
Tell us more about this because it's really interesting for people. It's a different market,
yeah.
Different game, faster. I don't know.
Yeah. So I think I sit on the fence, right? There's a lot of people that, you know, they would say they love the startup culture. They like smaller places and the likes, right? When I was in the corporate world, I did have, and I think everyone does have, the ups and downs of being in a corporate space, etc. And it really is dependent on the person. Some people like the corporate structure. I definitely love a little bit of that, and I've appreciated it more since I've been out of it, because you kind of take it for granted. You know, there's, especially in financial market, there's a lot of teams that have, you know, they're well established, they're there to help, you're not having to do everything. However, in the sense of innovation, coming up with ideas, there is always a lot of, you know, red tape, bureaucracy, and there's always a certain way of doing things. So I never look back at my previous life in finance and go, oh, I'm so glad to have gone out of it. It definitely set me up for, you know, where I am today. And it's definitely helped me in this job specifically, where when I first joined, and I guess for everyone in crypto, there really is a need for some form of structure within all the innovation that's happening at the pace that is happening as well. So I think, you know, a lot of ideas are coming out, and I see a lot of people with a solid background from the corporate world coming in and putting into place exactly, I'd say, what is needed in the sense of a bit of direction, a bit of how do you get things running, and really seeing the projects that are flourishing are the ones where previous experience in the corporate world is coming into the crypto space.
Okay, it's interesting you mentioned, and you mentioned innovation. And it's, you know, innovation is sometimes either you go out of nowhere or there's some incremental innovations. Mm. But when we talk about crypto in the world of DeFi and so on, you're coming out of nowhere. So that innovation needs time for some maturity, I would say. And this is, I think you've been there diving in the last 2-3 years and trying to make some normal sense into this chaos that is already, it's a market chaos. So it's not a traditional market. So I'm sure here that you are more or less, we enjoy the innovation, we enjoy the freedom, but in the same time it's chaos. And this is, that was your role. And now you're into the leadership position. So it brings you more, more challenges, if I want to call it.
Yes. Yes. I think for everyone, as you take on a bigger role, there is always definitely more challenges. I think you get looked at to create strategy, to create direction. And specifically, you know, for Binance FZE, we were one of the first to get our VASP license, which our virtual assets license with VAR in Dubai. And I think Binance being the biggest player, everyone is kind of looking to us in how we do it, right? So I think now as general manager, definitely people are coming to me more with clear guidance, clear direction. What are we doing here, and how are we gonna, you know, grow the market here? Right. We definitely have a responsibility to everyone, you know, in the UAE as well, for what exactly is happening in the crypto space here. Right. You've got the regulators, you've got you know, the projects coming into the country. But what are the big exchanges doing, and how are we working with everyone, the regulators, the projects, and the likes, to build a fruitful industry within the UAE?
And that is by itself another amazing part, because there's no dynamics here. Every day is different. And this is what brings us even to the, how do you see the current state of cryptocurrency adoption? And I know last year there was huge adoption on Binance wallets and transactions and so forth. On the global scale, and more specific, what's happening in the UAE? I don't know if you can share.
So the UAE, I think, you know, in terms of crypto adoption, has always been one of, you know, the front runners. I think it's number three in terms of crypto adoption, or expected to be number three in 2025. And in terms of how many people will start moving in to using crypto, it's estimated to be between 3.5 to 4 million people within the UAE. That really is about like a 40% penetration rate compared to global. I think the UAE really has been ahead of the game again with welcoming different players in the crypto industry here. However, if you compare at a global scale, I think now is the time for the rest of the, you know, everyone globally to look at what the UAE has done, but also start acting on building crypto regulation frameworks in place in order to allow for global adoption. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but the addition of, you know, Trump coming in.
you cannot mention Trump.
I think it's, I don't want to say it's a blessing, but he definitely has opened up, you know, the conversation. If the US is coming in, it really, really, really opens up for everyone else in other countries to have the conversation. And I think 2025 really is about, you know, there's multiple things. There's exciting projects in the AI space and DeepIn and that kind of stuff. However, I think institutions coming in, regulations coming in, you're going to start seeing a massive amount of volume. And now with Trump coming in, that really does open up the door for institutions to start investing, whether it's in the ETFs or coming straight to exchanges or DeFi, and buying the crypto directly. In terms of mass adoption and users, I think it's been clear over the last few years that it needs to get easier, right? It needs to, wallets can't be so complicated. The UI, the UX needs to be much easier to navigate. And, you know, people like me, my colleagues, even we make mistakes. It's not an easy thing to understand. So I think now that's become clear, and people are really focusing on how do I bring in the normal Tom and the small, you know, kids, you know, the kids,
grandparents and so on.
Exactly. Like at the moment, I still wouldn't tell my mom to come into crypto. Even if I had kids right now, I'd still be a bit careful because there is a lot of hype around all the memes, but I think the hype needs to be around, you know, the right stuff.
That's, yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then you cannot actually discuss anything without discussing the US politics. I'm not here for the politics part, but because, did you know, I don't know if you're aware, because of what happened in the US with Trump, Europe now is thinking of adopting
that is
some reserve. So, but that discussion didn't come because, in general, because Trump, and he pushed the agenda. That's the thing. Today, we're globalism. We're becoming, I think, one. But what's beautiful in UAE is that we are really privileged to be
correct.
In a very advanced, not just on the regulation, in multiple parts. I always say I'm blessed to be here because I know exactly that's the city of the future. And when you visit the Museum of the Future and then you go up the elevator and you see the vision of where they want to be, you understand all of this advancements in a direct way. But you cannot not talk about crypto because this is where we are. That's the topic. Anyway, what trends do you see in finance? And what do you think that domination will be in 2025? What's that maybe general topic or idea? Could be personal, of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, you mentioned the reserves, right? So, if the U.S. does go ahead with, you know, BTC reserves or any other country in that aspect, I think I still wouldn't shy away from looking at the bigger players, BTC, the layer ones that have a solid foundation, and I think those will continue to grow. Real world assets, AI, you know, there's so much focus on AI right now in terms of even the US said, let's look at innovation. Let's look at what we can use AI for. And I think that's massively going to come into the crypto space as well. And we're starting to see that. But they're moving away from just the safety of AI. So I think 2024 was very much around let's look at regulation, let's look at the safety around AI and start looking at the projects around it. And again, with crypto and AI together, you're gonna start seeing some very interesting projects around there. I think also, you know, real world assets, like as within the financial space, a lot of the institutions will wanna start looking at that, whether it is tokenization of bonds or anything of the likes, houses. You see Mantra here and what they're doing out of the UAE, which is phenomenal. It'll be nice to start seeing projects coming out of that as well. And then stablecoins. I'm really excited to see, you know, I think the growth of stablecoins in 2025 is going to be massive. In the UAE, you have the central bank. They've put together the stablecoin payments regulation guide. Yeah. I should know what it's called 100%. But that really is, you know, we went from a couple of years of not understanding what's going to be happening in the payment space and where we move in that sense. And now the regulation of the guidelines are coming out and they're like, okay, we're open to payments. We're open to all of this. But there is going to be a need to register certain stable coins and there's certain players that are creating their own. So that in itself really opens up the door of whether it's going to be remittances that are going to be a lot easier, just general payment. And I think you're going to start seeing people transacting day to day using these stable coins. And really, what do you get from them, right? I think you're starting to see the likes of Stripe discussing stablecoins now, and what is the benefit of the stablecoin away from, you know, protecting you from, less FX risk if you wanted to transact across borders in that sense, or also just cheaper, much, much cheaper, and then the possibility of yield behind that as well.
Yeah, and you know the currency, you know what to expect from it, the fluctuation, and all of this. And you mentioned, you know, supporting the local scene, because here it's really interesting. I just want to touch up what is Binance doing in the financial inclusion and then through cryptocurrencies, and supporting the local scene of startups, people. You mentioned some, but I don't know if you can give some other also ideas.
So I think, you know, Binance specifically, we don't specifically speak about projects that we're dealing with. That's more our labs business that's now been rebranded. But within the UAE specifically, I think, you know, the plan here really is to start looking at how we partner with, for example, payments providers on ground, how we start speaking to different types of businesses and how we can help them grow from a payments perspective or not. And at the same time, with you know, stablecoin coming in, we want to be able to create a sense that this is good for the industry. This is something that people are going to start using, and we want to support, you know, the banking channels and the system here to say, you know, stablecoin doesn't take away from you know, the central, not the central bank, but the local banks here. It really is a support. So we want to work with those local providers to build that environment here. And I think there is a necessity that you've got the exchanges that have liquidity, they have the users, as well as the banks and the projects that are bringing, you know, they're bringing the stable coins or their projects in, and you're creating that environment for more people to come on. At the same time, like for the general, you know, for people locally within the UAE, we continue to try and educate. We have meetups. We're very close to the community, and that really is key. None of this exists without, you know, our users and doing what they want more than anything.
Yeah, I've been involved in a lot of local events and regional events. I know exactly what you're talking about. And then when there's a Binance event, we actually do the effort to attend versus the others. That's a personal opinion, but it's a quality event. It's something, you know, you have to put it on it. Even it's a community event, but it has its own, you know, it's different. So
yeah,
that's so what, you know, that's what maybe differentiates Binance globally and locally here, more specific. Anyway, you have the sense of belonging, and this is what's I think important as a community.
I'm glad we can create that for you.
Well, at least for me. So you have been a major contributor, and this brings also from the legislation perspective. You've got the first license a couple of years ago, and then you've got a new license with VARA now, a few months last year. What does that mean as a milestone, and what does it mean for people?
Okay, so I mean, as a milestone, it's a huge achievement, right? So I think, you know, when we first came to the UAE, like any other player here, there was these discussions with the regulators, with VARA, and really what the vision is for the UAE. I think when you prove it, you know, if you previously said regulation, people kind of turn away from it. They get scared. They think it's gonna kill the industry in some way. But the UAE and the regulators have really shown that regulation doesn't mean stifling anything. It really is about protection. And since getting our license, we really have spent a lot of time making sure, you know, we build the right products. We build the same products, but in a regulated manner. And we're speaking to our users to understand, you know, what is important to them, so that when we do build this regulation around a framework that VARA has built in a way that it allows for, again, innovation, it allows for growth, it allows for users to enjoy those, it allows users to enjoy those products still, but it just adds an extra layer of comfort and protection. And I think that's what the last year has shown. We're still in a process of moving users over from the global exchange onto the local exchange, but we've wanted to take like a piecemeal approach where again our key focus is not, you know, destroying the user experience and making sure they understand why we're doing this. So again, it's a lot of time spent explaining things to them and communicating in a way that addresses the concerns. And at the same time, we're able to do it technically, because that, you know, having, you know, a huge platform, yeah. it really is a challenge. So I've spent, you know, we've spent the last part of how many months has it been? It's been 10 months now since we got the license, but really there's so many products and getting those over the line and regulated, it really does take some time.
Yeah, of course. That's a huge change. So I don't think anybody is ready for immediate, but it comes. Every regulation has a time frame. So everybody works within the time frame. That's something very normal. And this is where Dubai is really emerging as a hub of crypto innovation. And then, you know, having the license, supplying the local market is a big driver. And then you touched up about the regulation also, which could impact the global development of blockchain industry. And how do you see this local scene of innovation, regulation, community? It's an amazing mix. How do you see this impacting not just in Dubai but maybe in global, but starting from Dubai? I think it has a lot of value having the I don't want to call it trinity of you know, success over because it is the foundation of many different things.
So I think there's always, you know, there's always a cycle. There is this, you know, flywheel effect where first, you have, for example, right now, the regulations have come in. Regulation with itself brings in, as I said, like the protection, this, that. There's a user base that previously hadn't come into this space. And our aim right now is within the UAE and also globally is to start educating these users with the comfort of regulation to start coming in. So you start with your user base, they come on, we create a little bit of innovation, as you said, that, you know, the UAE allows for that, and then slowly with as users get more comfortable, you start seeing more projects that are being created that are relevant to users. I think crypto, you know, as we said previously, it's hard for people to understand, right? If I go on my phone, I'm like, half the time I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what am I actually getting out of this? And I think the UAE really is going to be the place where these projects do get created and you end up in this, you know, more users, more innovation, regulation that doesn't kill it. And again, it keeps going around, and that with that, you get more the adoption. And that's going to, as the rest of the world look to the UAE. And I think when I say the UAE, I'm not saying any other country in the sense of, you know, it is a respectable financial hub as well, right? So it's not just another country creating regulation. It's really a place where people respect. You see it in a place where there's been development, there's been an open mind to things. And I think it really has changed the perception of, you know, the Middle East to the rest of the world. So I think globally, they're going to start looking at that and being like, okay, if a financial hub like the UAE can do this, what is stopping us from doing it?
Exactly.
Right? And they're going to see them, you know, they're starting to push out, as I said, the stable coins. They're in, you know, there's been discussions around the CBDCs. I think other countries are going to start looking over and be like, why are we behind? Why don't we do this?
Why didn't start?
Exactly. And I'm from the UK. I'm Egyptian, British, but the UK, you know, you look at it and it really, there hasn't been much of an improvement in the last, oh, I'm going to say 5 to 10 years, but it's quite sad. Like, I remember when I was first in the UK and I invested for the first time, I did it using Revolut, right? So I invested in crypto in 2017 using Revolut, but I didn't understand all the underlyings, etc. And then when the market shot up in 2020, everyone was on it, and then they just killed it. They killed the whole market by blocking everything. And since then, you know, it's been 5 years of discussions, but not much else. So I think they're going to start looking at the UAE and other countries and be like,
the European curse. This is, I'll talk about this as a, because I've seen Europe, you know, too much regulation to a point where there's, at one point there was no regulation, and now there's too much regulation to comply. versus being agile, such as the UAE in general, and then each different state in UAE is also more advanced than others, and then there's just general rule. That's why what's Binance strategy in the Middle East in general that differs different markets, and what lessons have been learned from operating in the UAE, because Middle East has been also on the rise, even though there's some countries that, you know, bans it, doesn't talk about it, but then there's the others. So it's different things.
So I think you know, each region does have a different strategy depending on what the need of the people is in that region, right? You look at LATAM, for example, and the crazy inflation and, you know, the uncertainty of their currency, that really creates a need for stable currencies, stable coins in LATAM. So there's a lot of focus on that there. In Europe, it is, as you said, a lot of regulation, and that really has been the focus for us there. In the Middle East, you're dealing with, you know, we have a Middle Eastern culture, but you're also dealing with different countries with different cultures. And as you said, you know, not all countries are super open to the discussion at the moment. So that really kind of directs our strategy here. The UAE has been, you know, an absolute blessing because, again, it's like you've got similarities in culture, but what they have created, and this is not just in crypto, this really is in finance and in everything from F&B. Like, the UAE has created, and you look at Saudi now, something completely different to what the Middle East has. So I'd love to say it's comparable, but I look at the UAE and then I look at Egypt and I'm like, How do we do in Egypt? How do we do the same? How do we start
empowering?
I know in Egypt, we do have currency problems as well. And again, that discussion is, how do you start having the discussion to say, crypto isn't the enemy. It is something that you can work with to help the people, to help everything, and really grow as a country versus not looking that way. So I think, again, the strategy really is dependent on the individual countries. And in the Middle East, you know, you have the Ramadan campaign coming up with everyone fasting and going through Ramadan. We want to create a place where people can turn to, where they understand the culture. We're one of you, right? There's a lot of different cultures for people within Binance, and we want to make sure that everyone understands that we're kind of one of, I don't want to say one of the people, that's very ridiculous, but it's community. We don't exist without this community and understanding it, really.
Perfect. So I just want, before I continue, to tell my viewers, have you Binanced? So it's really interesting. Check out the video and then we will resume.
Have you Binanced?
What?
Have you Binanced?
Have you Binanced? No.
Have you Binanced?
Have you Binanced?
I have Binanced.
Congratulations.
Binance.
So I just want to continue the discussion.
Yep.
I attended the Binance Blockchain Week in Dubai last October.
It was fabulous.
Oh. I'm biased.
Yeah.
But it's really an amazing event. Maybe the best ever I attended part of events.
No, it was great.
What's coming for 2025? Maybe I'll add a plugin just for you guys to see what happened. You know, Coca-Cola Arena, the views. It's really amazing what's happened inside the community. You know, it's not just an event where you go and attend. It was an event you live in. So at one point of time, I wished it was like, you know, running till midnight or because you sense of belonging.
I'll pass on that feedback.
No, but it's to that point, you know, yeah. Those 2 days where it was like beyond. What's happening in 2025?
So in terms of Binance Block Tribute, yeah. Thank you. I mean, I myself was very surprised by that. I was very surprised by the turnout. I think you never really understand the impact that Binance has on people until you show up at these events. And BBW was one of those that really took me aback. I was like, wow, like this is huge. And Dubai was a great place to have it. You had a lot of people flying in for it, and it really did create that energy. So I think the plan for BBW is always where do we take it to keep that energy, to keep showing what Binance really is doing, and you know, the partners that we work with, etc. So I'm excited to see where it does happen this year, and I'll definitely be there. I hope you can join us. In terms of plans for Binance, you know, we continue to you know, speak to our users and really understand what they need. Again, within the UAE specifically, my focus really is getting this regulated platform, growing our user base, focusing on education. None of this happens without really educating users, and Binance Academy is an amazing platform for this. I think I don't give Binance Academy enough credit, because when it comes to really understanding crypto, it is about making it dummy proof. And when I joined the crypto industry, I bought the book Crypto for Dummies, and then it was 800 pages. I'm sitting reading it and trying to make sense of it. And then when I got onto Binance Academy, it really made such a difference for me to understand the ins and outs. So I think it's about putting people in front of that, working with schools, working with the younger generation, because it's become clear that people are starting with social media, people are starting to look at financial savings, financial independence, and all these aspects from a very young age. I still think they should be kids and they shouldn't worry about these kind of things, but
but they're not.
You know, my 16-year-old cousin was talking to me about crypto years ago, and I was like, okay, if he's having this conversation, what can we do for that generation? How do we build the platform? So I think that's where Binance comes in, years and years of experience, user-friendly platform. And then away from that, institutional growth, right? It's that's going to be a key theme in 2025. It is about working with the larger institutions now that the U.S. has opened things up. How do we support them? How do we build products that support them? There is a whole suite of products that exist in the financial markets that don't exist in crypto. And I think it is important that we stay ahead of that in 2025.
Perfect. So I just want to plug here the link for the Binance Academy. I think I've visited many times also. I've learned a lot throughout the years. And I think for you guys, it's a must. The content is free. So whatever is quality content, free content, learning never stops, even for me. And this is where I want to move to education, but you mentioned a lot. I want to move to Binance Square. Mm. And I've seen that there's a lot of, you know, push for Binance Square to become a platform. What's its role in a global Binance ecosystem, and how does it contribute to fostering community engagements, especially from education and multiple things, and the blockchain industry as a whole?
Yeah. So I think of Binance Square as, I guess, is it X, or I'm still going to call it Twitter, but
I'm still expecting an application very specifically dedicated for it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the discussion is being had, but least. It would actually it's a great idea. But Binance Square really is, as you said, it's giving the community a voice, right? It's if you compare it to other industries, you know, there's there's a lot of access to people that are big in the industry. There's, you know, those with the hundreds of thousands of followers that share their opinion. But it's really hard to hear the opinion or anything that the community might be saying for people that don't have followers and the like. So it really is a place where people can come, voice their opinion, their concerns, share ideas. There's no limit to it. So honestly, whenever I'm on the Binance app, it's there in front of me, and I look at some of the comments by people or those on Binance Square, and I've actually learned a lot from it. So especially in crypto, it's hard to navigate where to find a good opinion or where to find good, anything about new tokens or what's happening.
Yeah, it's live. That's the beauty. It's about accurate, live, and gives you that direct feedback of at least a sense where you can judge. That's a different from the other social platforms, if you want to call it.
And those are very hard to navigate. And I think even in the fact that you're able to right now that it's on Binance. I know you're asking for a different app, but the fact that it is on Binance and you're able to switch and navigate to another page to understand. So for example, if I see something someone has recommended or there's a discussion going on, I can easily flip to the markets page and understand how that links. So I think it's amazing from that sense. And I would say everyone just go try it and share, and it grows.
Perfect. We just saw Have You Binanced movie. What would you say to encourage those people to explore Binance and the world of crypto, especially we're going for the next 500 million users?
Yeah. So I think the term "it's never too late" is huge in crypto, because when you think it's too late, it's not. So, in 2020, or when that cycle had happened, everyone jumped in. Everyone wasn't afraid, and it's kind of thanks to a lot of what was happening in the financial markets as well, because everyone was playing around with platforms, trying to get into whether it's investment or the likes. And I think I realized from 2020 to now, it's again, like you look at Bitcoin, that it's never too late. Sorry, I've lost my words there, but it's these cycles. So don't be scared. Start small, play around. Use on Binance we have you can do demo trading. Play around with the earn products where you buy a little bit of crypto and you get a return on it. So in terms of
it's sitting there just
exactly, and it's it's protected, right? So I always say to friends or the or younger people around me, if you're willing to take a bit of risk in the sense of like stable coins and stuff, it's the same as owning anything in fiat, right? You have a savings account. Come onto Binance and use Binance Earn. It's protected, as I said, but you're seeing a better return than what you're getting in your bank. So I think that's a really nice way to get into crypto without fearing the movement of the markets. And at the same time, I wouldn't really say to people come and trade and the likes. My main focus would be go read Binance Academy, get involved with trying to understand, because in 5 years time crypto is still going to be around, but you're going to just get further away from like really understanding it. So I think really now is the time.
So here we are, ending our episode. Any last words you'd like to add?
I think I'm excited. Like I think at the beginning of 2024, we saw a huge, especially in the UAE, as you said, like we've seen a huge influx of a lot of crypto projects coming to the space. We saw regulation, but we haven't really seen a lot of we've seen users come in, but we haven't really seen the day-to-day discussion around crypto outside of the crypto space. And I think that part is going to start normalizing, right? The, oh, I bought this with crypto. Oh, I met this person, and the conversations are a bit easier to understand. And I think 2025 really is that. And it comes from what's happening in the US, what's happening globally in terms of regulations. I really think this is the year, and it almost is. It's so exciting to see, and you know the conversation's going to get easier. And I really think, you know, by the end of it, we're in a good place, and it's less coming. Of a taboo.
It's coming.
It's not going to be a taboo anymore.
I don't think it anymore. It's a taboo.
Yeah, exactly. But I can finally explain to my mom and dad what I do, and they're not going to be like. What is it anymore?
What are you talking about? Exactly.
Exactly.
So thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing your insights.
Thanks for coming into the office.
Yeah, that's my pleasure. I want to thank again our viewers as well for tuning in. You can watch the recording and some of the reels that will be coming out on YouTube and the social media. Until next time, please stay tuned. Please share, comment. And if you have questions, drop them down. I'll make sure that's